The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hello and welcome back to Pod on the Tyne. I'm Taylor Payne and fingers crossed we'll be one and done this week. Although we do have a wee bit more psychodrama to come. I'm joined by Chris Woff and George Corgan. Chris, dear boy, how are you?
Well, I look very white because I've got this light in front of me and it's like beaming down onto my face because we are now trailing ahead of going onto YouTube, and so this is very strange that you keep commenting about the fact that my fringe just does look like it's being cut with a ball directly placed on my head and then cut round it, which is, you know, the look that I go for, and George likes to make that clear. So yeah, you're gonna get full on waff, almost waff overload really, I think, going forward on that.
To be fair, I think I'm already at waff overload, and we're a minute 30 into the podcast, but yeah. My batteries fill up quite quickly with waff these days.
Yeah, a bonus waff aside, George, how are you?
I'm all right, you know, it's July, it's there's nothing stressful happening at all, is there? It's all, everything is hunky-dory.
Everything is completely fine.
I almost can't open my mouth to say that. My jaw is so tense.
Yes, no grinding of the teeth. It's not good for you. Let's get into the headlines then, chaps, shall we? There's only one place to start. Swiss miss. Manzambi deal is all but done. The Swiss midfielder will join Newcastle United. No, sorry. It's another last-minute diversion, this time to Aston Villa, Chris.
Yes, it's not 100% done yet, and some at Newcastle are still suggesting there may be a chance that this happens, but as of Tuesday evening, Newcastle United do not think they're going to sign Johan Manzambi anymore, who is their top midfield target. They've tried really, really hard to get him. There's always been a bit of a concern that he may go elsewhere, and Aston Villa appear to have gazumped them once more.
Two by two, the lasses are picking up signings in pairs, George.
Yeah, they're showing the men how it's done. They have signed Hanna Nemeth, the Hungarian defender, and they have also signed Kathleen McGovern, and she will become the new number nine for Newcastle United women. So hopefully plenty of goals there.
And pre-season begins. Lewis Miley limbers up, but Bruno is still in limbo.
Yeah, so some Newcastle United players, the non-internationals or those internationals who only played very early on during this this summer break, are back at the Knox, as it's now called. Lewis Miley is among them. Early preparations after his broken leg, but then obviously Bruno Guimaraes is not there yet. He is away on holiday, but the situation over his future remains uncertain.
No idea why they didn't call it Fort Knox. It was staring them right in the face the whole time. It was such an easy get. Anyway, heartburn. The whole country learns what it is to love Dan Byrne. Lionel Messi must be absolutely shitting himself, George.
Lionel Messi is pants, yeah. Yeah, another great moment for Dan and also for England. He comes on against Norway and closes the game out. He does it with some brilliant challenges, a fantastic header towards the end. And yeah, the whole country is learning what Dan is all about. He's there because he deserves to be in the England squad, and he's showing everybody what he's all about.
Lovely stuff. Right then, chaps, let's get into it. Yohan Manzambi's the first topic. Another public transfer cuckolding for Newcastle United. A Swiss midfielder, World Cup hero and future Ballon d'Or winner, obviously. Yohan Manzambi has led our innocent execs up the garden path before. Surprise, surprise, a Champions League club crawl out of the woodwork and steal in. Chris, is that what's happened or has something else happened?
Well, Aston Villa have always been interested in Manzambi, and Newcastle have known that they and other clubs were there or thereabouts. But with Villa, there had been a thought that, well, it wasn't just a thought. I think the reality was and has been that Aston Villa couldn't afford to bring in players until they sold someone. And subsequently, after the Manzambi news was broken by David Ornstein, our colleague on The Athletic on Sunday, then the following morning, he broke that Youri Tielemans looked to be off to Manchester United, and therefore that brings in finance there. Also, Luca Digne has been linked with PSG, maybe other players leave. And so basically Villa have needed finance to come in to be able to do a deal, and seemingly that's part of the reason why this has accelerated. There's still been doubts raised by some people at Newcastle as to whether and how quickly they can do this deal, as in Aston Villa can do this deal because of the finance that's there. And I think Newcastle have tried to make this argument to Manzambi and his camp that he could come here, we can do the deal now, you wouldn't have to wait. And they did have the framework of a deal in place with Freiburg as of the middle to back end of last week. They had personal terms with the player, although I do slightly chuckle a little bit when you see some reports saying that they had personal terms agreed with Manzambi. It's like, yeah, but except the key one, which is has he agreed to come? And yeah, clearly he hasn't actually done that yet. And has been throughout doubts raised by some at the club or sort of maybe anxiety about whether he actually wants to come, and it just some suggesting maybe he hasn't felt right throughout, or why hasn't he committed at this stage? And by the back end of last week, Newcastle got a bit frustrated, certainly with his camp, as to why that there hadn't been that. He'd intimated he wanted to wait till after the World Cup, but that didn't mean that the other terms couldn't be thrashed out and concluded. And so, yeah, I think Newcastle got a whiff of it by the back end of last week that maybe this wasn't going the direction that they wanted, and Villa are really pushing hard to try and conclude it. So not entirely dead yet, seemingly, at the time of recording. So what was it, 5 o'clock on Tuesday evening? But I think that the reality is that we are unlikely to see Manzambi line up as a Newcastle player at St James's Park next season now.
And once again, George, Newcastle fans, and I'm including myself in this, of course, are getting all existential, aren't they?
Well, yeah, and it's understandable because the context, it's not just one player. It's not just missing out on one player, is it? It's missing out on Munoz earlier this summer, and then, of course, missing out on a whole host of players a year ago. So we have that in our system, and, you know, when you add another one to the list, it feels like a sort of bigger blow than possibly it is in isolation. And it comes at a time when Newcastle have sold a couple of big players in Tonali and Gordon, and with doubts over Bruno Guimaraes. So it's like, it's totally understandable that people are getting worked up and worried and upset and stressed and things like that. I totally get it. I'm not sure it's the same as a year ago. I think Newcastle's initial approach a year ago, when they were going for established Premier League players most of the time, I think was probably flawed in retrospect, and they were hijacked. But you also have to remember that it does take three parties to get a deal done. It takes a buying club, it takes a selling club, and it takes the player and their and their representatives. And, all those things have to be aligned. I'm not sure that Newcastle have done much wrong here. They've certainly got to a position where they've got an agreement with the club. But, you know, the players at the World Cup, it's a big stage. I know he hasn't played in the last couple of games for Switzerland because of injury, but he's on display in front of the whole world and has done well. And, you know, I mean, could Newcastle have, you know, doubled their offer in terms of money? Well, but I mean, no, probably not, because of the financial area they're working in. I mean, I'm not sure, for example, that this is an equivalent to a couple of years ago when they were negotiating with Burnley for James Trafford, for example, and they were just stalling on fees and pressing the button and stuff like that. I don't feel it's like this. Anyway, yeah, it's annoying, it's frustrating, but they have to move on to the next one if this doesn't happen.
Some people are framing this as a bit of a humiliation, Chris, but how stressed are we about this so-called humiliation?
I get that, and I get the sort of increased frustration and the feeling that this just keeps happening again and again. And if you look at it from the point of view of a lot of Newcastle fans who going into this summer off the back of what had been a difficult season and hoping that things were going to improve going into the following year, that two of their best players have been sold, three in the space of less than 12 months, Bruno Guimaraes situation, then Victor Munoz, who probably would have come straight in the first 11, they're very close to getting that deal done. It doesn't happen. They've brought in Baz Mornature, who they're very excited about, but I think isn't quite yet at the level that Victor Munoz is. He's a couple of years younger, probably isn't quite as ready to come immediately in the first 11. They've signed three very promising players, but none of them, you would say, necessarily immediately improve the first 11. So then the first 11 is weakened. There's the Bruno situation, as I mentioned, and then Manzambi as well, where Manzambi, clearly, again, you look at it and think he could have come in and really improved that midfield or given them something different and be excited about what he'd achieved at the World Cup. So I think humiliation is too strong. I get why people feel in that sort of situation. I think what Newcastle need to respond with is they need to bring in players who do improve that first 11. And we keep saying this, and people get frustrated by that and say, oh, you keep saying judge the window at the end of it. But it's not just at the end of it, it's over the course of the next few weeks. And if Newcastle can bring in other players who do improve the first 11, who aren't Manzambi, but are another midfielder or in a different position, if they're bringing a fullback who really helps strengthen them, or a goalkeeper a la James Trafford or someone else, then I think suddenly that starts to change. And it does feel... there's a lot more structure in place there. There's a lot more thought behind what they are trying to do. The outcome hasn't necessarily matched that because they've had two very public missing out on players who they clearly wanted and who would have improved them. So I get that, but I think humiliation is too strong. It does feel like Newcastle are the ones who keep getting this, but I think humiliation is too strong.
The way that I would rephrase that or phrase it is that Manzambi would have been a mood shifter.
Yeah.
And that was a phrase that I put to somebody senior at the club last week, and they agreed, be a mood shifter. And so that hasn't happened. And so the mood is still where it was, which is angsty, it's grumpy after what happened at the end of last season. They've sold players since then. And so that's what Newcastle need. They need a mood shifting signing. Manzambi's quality has been there for everyone to see. So there was a great deal of excitement. People need something to buy into. They need something to be excited about and happy about. And so far, the club haven't delivered it. So it's as simple as that. You know, they need a mood shifter, and Manzambi, I think, would have gone some way to being that.
Chris, can the club operate differently at all to kind of mitigate or avoid these situations from happening?
Well, they do have to look at it in that it has happened again. And so in that sense, there was certainly internal analysis after the Victor Munoz situation and could they have done anything any differently? And I think some people were firmer on the fact that maybe they could have done, whereas others, I think, in the club felt that it was just one of those situations where as soon as Liverpool come in, what can you necessarily do? And I've seen criticism of the target who Newcastle have gone for, just as there was last year. Now, I got it in hindsight last year that Newcastle went for players who were of a certain caliber that the very biggest clubs wanted, and they missed out on them each time. I don't think they've done that this summer. It's like, and eventually, if you just keep going too far down the bar, it's like, oh yeah, we'll just go for players you can definitely sign. It's like, well, will they definitely improve the team to the level that they want to be? So instead, what Newcastle have tried to do is they've gone for players a little bit younger or a bit younger than they did last year, but who they think have the ceiling of equivalence or higher of those players, and some of those will work out, some of them may not. They're not the only club doing that. There is a very challenging market for that. Brighton have been established doing that, and obviously Brighton sign Zadok Yohana ahead of them. Liverpool jump in last minute and get Munoz and propel ahead of Newcastle, but they tried to get that deal done before that. Manzambi, again, a player who people were aware of, but he's still only 20. He's still got a huge room for growth. And they tried to get that deal done. They've tried to do it, and they've missed out on him. So I think the fact that it's been public, I think if it hadn't played out in the way that it had, as in it broke a fortnight ago, and it came out maybe later in the summer or just at the last minute that Villa have got the deal done, Newcastle were there as well, I think it wouldn't have looked this way. And I think that's why this feeling does become heightened, because it feels like it's happening over and over again. But no, yes, I should definitely look at it, but I think it's far too easy to just cast aspersions at Newcastle and say they're looking at the wrong players, because I would just say, well, then you are just basically accepting mediocrity, because you're just saying, we'll just go and sign a player we can definitely believe we can sign. But is that going to push you forward enough as a club if anything that you're saying publicly about where you want to get to has any dose of realism attached to it?
If we remember what happened immediately post-takeover, the first transfer window, they got Bruno. Now, like, They got Bruno under the noses of bigger, more established clubs at the time. People like Arsenal had been looking at him then. And what they did was they took him before those bigger clubs thought this guy is maybe ready. And, you know, if you're a club like Arsenal or Man City or Liverpool, you can also wait to see how those players do at a club like Newcastle at the time or Brighton or Bournemouth. And if they succeed, you can then afford to sign them then. Now, I think the rules of the game have changed a little bit. I think the bigger clubs are looking to make those signings early so that they can also make money theoretically down the line on younger players. So I think the market has changed a little bit. But also, at the time, Newcastle could have signed me and effectively improved. And I'm joking, but Newcastle were bottom of the league, and the scope to improve from where they were was massive. Now, I know that they didn't have a good season in the Premier League last summer, but they've still got a good team and they've still got good players. And getting better, but also whilst also attempting to sign young players who, perhaps aren't deemed ready by other clubs, bigger clubs, I think it leaves quite a small market. I think people get frustrated when you say, when Eddie Howe says the pool of talent is quite small, but if you're replacing a player like Tonali, or you're replacing a player like Gordon, or attempting to replace a player like Isak, it's a small pool, particularly if you're trying to be more clever than richer clubs. And so it does put kind of pressure on. I just wanted to say that as a bit of context, because I don't think it's straightforward.
It's certainly not. And we had a bit of a transfer train as well, Chris, didn't we? The situation changed at Aston Villa after Manchester United unexpectedly activated Youri Tielemans' release clause. And Villa also lost Luca Dean in a sub £10 million release clause as well. And their fans are not really happy about those two deals.
Yeah, and Villa obviously are in the Champions League, so and a lot of Newcastle fans understandably look at the Villa situation and how they have maybe outperformed Newcastle, certainly in the course of the last 12 months or so, and managed to push ahead them a little bit. But Villa have operated in a way where they've really pushed the PSR, now SCR, situation to the limits. They almost live sort of hand to mouth, transfer window, and having to move the situation on. Their wage budget has ballooned. They needed to sell this summer, and then they've also got those clauses with him. I don't know the backstory to all of them, but I imagine with Youri Tielemans, it was the fact he was a free agent, and maybe to convince him to sign at that stage, they had to put that in there. But it also shows the challenges that the likes of Villa and Newcastle, it's not just Newcastle who are in this situation. Villa may be in the Champions League, but they are very much up against it this summer in having to do some a lot of business outwards as well as inwards to make sure they are in a financial position where certainly they comply with UEFA, but even the Premier League, I think, in their capacity.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We have had an email as well. This is from Giles. It says, "Hi, I do like the pod, but I'm just listening to the latest episode on Bruno possibly leaving, and I'm astounded no mention of SCR. It prevents us paying the same as other teams in wages or transfers, and therefore we are stuck. Villa clearly have the same issues. Cheers, Giles." SCR, it's kind of like, I think of it like the shark in Jaws, in that it's always there. Everybody knows it's there. It's always going to cause problems. It'll turn up and fuck things up for us. And that's the way I like to think of it. But I understand we don't talk about it specifically a lot, do we?
Well, I mean, if we didn't mention it specifically with the Bruno chat, in some ways it doesn't matter what it's called, whether it's SCR or PSR beforehand. Newcastle are hemmed in by financial restrictions, but whether in through the Premier League or UEFA. And, you know, last year, when the rules were slightly different, Liverpool were able to offer double what Alexander Isak was on at Newcastle. Newcastle are attempting to grow their commercial and marketing from a much lower base. They have to have a measure of restraint in their wage bill. Bruno is already the highest earner, I think he is the highest earner already. They have to keep him. So, you know, Giles, I think we talk about those restrictions quite a lot. I mean, and yes, they are stuck. They're stuck until commercial marketing goes up, until they get a new stadium. That's why Newcastle are also having to sell players at the moment. This is the way they feel that they can get bigger and stronger. But I mean, it's an incredibly restricted environment that Newcastle are operating in. The rules have changed since Manchester City were taken over, and it's an incredibly challenging situation they find themselves in.
Yeah, I mean, squad cost rules, they are restrictive. And if Newcastle really did try to push it Premier League-wise, then they may find themselves in trouble. But actually, the restrictive thing right now is UEFA. And we have talked about the compliance agreement they have moving forward. And they are SCR rules as well, squad cost rules. But it's slightly different. There are two specific rules there, both of which Newcastle fell foul of last year, and which they have to comply with moving forward. So actually, in the short term, more of a concern for Newcastle and more of a restriction is actually the UEFA rules.
The latest on Bruno then, George, Arsenal may be misled slightly by an agent.
I haven't spoken to Arsenal and I haven't spoken to Bruno's agent, so it's difficult for me to talk about that. There have been reports that, similar to around the whole Isak saga, that, you know, had Bruno been promised that he could leave, or told he could leave if Newcastle weren't in the Champions League, things like that. There's been a bit of that kind of knocking about. We've said elsewhere that having not heard from Arsenal for the first few days of this, there has now been contact between Arsenal and Newcastle. I don't think it's taken things any further forward at this point. And I just think that as things stand, there is just a huge divergence on what Arsenal would be prepared to pay and what Newcastle would want for their talisman and their captain. What you hope isn't going on is a repeat of the Isak stuff, and it's that sort of trying to find a way out. I was promised this, no you weren't, all of that stuff, backing people into corners, and there's a bit of a kind of blame game going on. And of course Bruno hasn't said anything publicly himself. He has that power, and he hasn't exercised that power. So it is a bit of a mess, but we just have to see how things play out.
A penny for the thoughts of Eddie Howe right now as well, Chris. It's not ideal prep, is it, when you're starting a pre-season?
No, and I think we've said this before, that for Howe, it's about wanting to have a chance there, really, of going into the new season and either expectations being at a level where he feels that they're at least able to be fulfilled, or having a team which really can challenge. And given the scrutiny there was towards the back end of last year, given the pressure he's under, given the questions, and many of them fair and understandable, that a lot of Newcastle fans have about his ability to take the team forward and to really progress with them, when the first 11 has been weakened, as we say, so far, going into this window, they've lost. You can understandably, and people at the club talk about how Tonali and Gordon were not performing to the top levels last year for much of the season, and they weren't, but when they really did need to raise the game, they could. So Newcastle had that theoretical level, and you saw that in the Champions League or in certain big games. They've lost those two players, so that's two automatic starters at the very best who Newcastle have lost, and they've replaced the three signs they've made so far, although I keep saying it, are very, very promising players. One of them is theoretically the second-choice goalkeeper going into next season. Another one is an 18-year-old midfielder who is going to need a lot of work to really progress and hopefully hone into what they want. And Basmona Touré has a lot of excitement about him, but again, I don't know if he's necessarily ready to start that first game of the season. So Howe will be looking at it and looking at the players he's got, and then also thinking Bruno is due to return in 2 or 3 weeks' time. What sort of mind frame is he going to be in? Is he going to be fully committed? Is he even going to be here? All of that cannot really be helping him, and I think that maybe he'll actually feel better for being on the training pitch this week. I think that could really lift him, because that's where he feels at his best, and maybe he feels he can actually be materially affecting things a little bit. But yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of frustration on his part, and just want to get players in. And I think Manzambi will really have been a low blow for him at this point.
Yeah, I was going to kind of reiterate that point about being in at the training ground. I'm sure that will take an element of his edginess away, but all managers want more. They always want more. They always want better. And I think the big thing is, when Liverpool comes around on the first day of the season for Newcastle, Eddie Howe will want to feel like he has got a chance this season, that the team have got a chance this season, that the club has got an opportunity to progress. Now, what that progress looks like, if it's a very different team, is a different question. But I'm sure that's what he wants. And if the season was starting today, tomorrow, I would be really, really fearful.
Yeah.
but there is time, there is still time to go. There is intent from everyone at the club that they will strengthen and they will be better. But, managers want more. They want it now. He will have wanted senior players in for the start of pre-season. That rarely happens that way, certainly in Newcastle. But, what he really needs is to be in a position, start of the season, he's got an opportunity to have a good season.
So Touré, Zhao and Sean Stur have all signed, Chris. What's next?
What a question to ask me on just after the Manzambi. Well, the Manzambi situation hasn't actually been concluded yet. But, well, Newcastle still want two midfielders. That's on the proviso that Joe Willock leaves. He has reported back for pre-season, and Newcastle haven't received a firm offer for him yet. They still want a number one goalkeeper. James Trafford's the top target. I've reported that Zion Suzuki, the Japan international goalkeeper impressed at the World Cup, the Parma goalkeeper, is someone else who's been put towards them and that they've considered internally, but there are other options there as well. Trafford's the one that they really want. Fullback-wise, they want at least one, if not multiple, depending on whether it's someone who can play both sides, depending on what's available there. I still think there's a chance as well that if, say, someone like Jacob Murphy was to go, he's been linked to Everton. I don't think he's massively high up their list of wanted targets, but he is on it, and there could be, I think Newcastle would be receptive to interest. Maybe that requires another wide attacker. So there is a lot still to do, and as I said before, at the minute, Newcastle's starting 11 is weaker than on paper than it was towards the end of last season, purely on profile of player. So yeah, a lot to do. I'm not going to say who's going to sign next. I know that other midfielders that they've sort of considered or have been put towards them, Wolves is João Gomes. You've got Danilo at Botafogo, two Brazilian nationals who are of a relatively decent experience or mid-20s. That would slightly be different to the profile that they're looking at elsewhere. But I certainly think, say if Bruno was to go, which they still insist they don't believe will happen, but if he was to go, then that would maybe fit that. But I also think once they haven't got Manzambi, they have to be considering all of these different alternatives. And the message from Newcastle is that they've been conducting multiple concurrent negotiations and that they have alternatives, that they've always had alternatives. And yeah, now the proof will sort of be in the pudding and whether they can actually bring those other players in. They moved quickly onto Touré once they didn't get Munoz. If Manzambi to Villa does go through, then they need to make sure that they move on quickly and bring in a midfielder who can really add a bit of heft, I think, to that midfield, because it feels like they've lost something substantial there.
Right then, a quick update on the Lasses. Two more recruits after two last week as well. Hungarian centre-half Hanna Nemeth arrives with a solid pedigree, having come through the US college system. She spent the last 4 years with Frauen Bundesliga Werder Bremen. Bremen a mid-table team, but Hanna did reach the German Cup final with them in 2025. Prolific Scottish striker Kathleen McGovern becomes the new number nine. She scored 51 goals in 64 games for Hibernian. That is prolific by anybody's standards, where she was also the Scottish title winner in 2024-25. The Lasses are busy, George.
Yeah, and you know, very exciting to have a new number nine in Kathleen McGovern, as you say. I mean, a pretty extraordinary goal-scoring record up in Scotland. She's also she scored 10 goals in 14 appearances for Scotland, which is some going. Made her debut for Scotland a couple of years ago, and she's only 24, so she's a good age.
Yeah,
you know, that's what you want. You want to see a real sign of intent. Last season was difficult, and it was disappointing overall. But they're bringing in players that do have a good pedigree and are, you know, are hungry to take the next step. And, you know, in her first interview with Newcastle, Kathleen has said that she's a winner. She wants to score goals. She wants to help the club to achieve promotion. That's what everybody wants. So, yeah, it feels like it's been a positive summer so far.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind. Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino style games. It's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Right then, back to the men's team. The first batch of men's players returned to pre-season this week. And I'll tell you one thing, Joe Linton hasn't been shirking when it comes to keeping the weights up, has he, over the summer. His biceps looked massive, certainly bigger than Will Osula's. In fact, bigger than Will Osula in general, I would say. One of Joe Linton's biceps is bigger than Will Osula.
Do you think they pull off a vest top better than I do?
Are his biceps bigger than Chris's thighs? Because, I mean, Chris's thighs are massive.
That would be quite the competition, wouldn't it? Yeah. Hmm. Nice to see Lewis Miley out on the grass.
Yeah, it sure is. We know he has a bit of a way to go to get back to fitness, but, you know, to repeat what we've been saying repeatedly since the back end of the season, everybody at the club reckons it's his time now, and it's going to need to be because there's nobody left.
Yeah, absolutely. Tino Livramento as well posted on Instagram the other day saying thank you to all the Geordies for the lovely comments they've been sending his way, Chris. When do we expect to see him?
Well, I think for both Miley and Livramento, the early part of pre-season, unlikely to be involved in those very early games. I think Newcastle are hopeful that they can be ready for the first game of the season, or certainly in and around the squad for that first game of the season. So, yeah, not the massively positive they are going to be right at it and appear at Gateshead. I think that's unlikely, which is the Gateshead friendly, is the first public friendly, and that's a week on Saturday after Newcastle play Darlington, the behind closed doors friendly this weekend. But yeah, but by the Liverpool match, I think Newcastle are hopeful that they will be in and around fitness.
And a professional contract for Lewis Miley's little brother as well, Chris. My God, there is some good genetics in that family.
Yes, the third Miley brother to have come through the system after Jamie as well. Lewis and Jamie did play on the pitch together in a pre-season friendly. But yeah, obviously Lewis established in the first team squad now, first 11 really. Well, there's a hope for this season. But his younger brother Mason, who I saw play quite a few times last year, he broke into the under-18s and then into the under-19s in the UEFA Youth Cup and then into the under-21s the back end of the season. He's primarily a midfielder, a bit more, I'd say, combative and gets around the pitch a bit more than the technical qualities of Lewis. But he can also play at right-back. He has played there in a similar way to Lewis has. So, yeah, someone who Newcastle have high hopes for as well. So, great for that family.
It would be great to see a Miley Brothers combo in midfield, George, wouldn't it? Just tearing through the Premier League. That would be something special.
Well, as I say, there may be nobody left apart from them to do it. So it might just have to happen. But yeah, no, I mean, it's fabulous. I'm trying to think. I've got two brothers. I'm trying to think what we could have all done together at the same time.
Skateboarding maybe, or darts.
Playing, it would have been like playing on the Nintendo or something, wouldn't it? I mean, it's like, imagine being so good, like you can all play professional football.
Yes, absolutely.
I didn't really express that very well, but I'm just sort of, I think it always amazes me when you see young people being good at and dedicated and professional, because I was only good at going to the off license and buying underage alcohol and cigarettes.
Mm. Obviously, we don't condone that at all. And
of course not.
Of course not. I always think about, there's always somebody when you're at school, isn't there? There's always one lad at school or one lass at school who's just fucking brilliant at everything. And I'm wondering if the Miley family have kind of cornered that with their kids. I wonder if he's brilliant at table tennis. He can play chess. He's absolutely superb at darts. You know, it's just genetics, man.
It's quite annoying.
Really annoying, isn't it?
The more I think about it, the more annoying it is.
Yeah. Spread it out a bit, man. Let somebody else have a go.
Were you good at anything when you were 16, Chris?
Careful.
You good at anything now, Chris?
But we already know the answer to that question, so.
You're a work in progress, Chris. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. All right? Project.
It's a project. It's a project. Yeah. He's a project signing.
2045 for Chris Woff. Yes, eventually. Yes. And as we said before, pre-season is well underway now. It would be great, wouldn't it, to learn a little bit more about how pre-season works, Chris Woff.
Oh, well, Taylor, you've come to the right place then, haven't you? Because as of early this week, I have recorded an Extra Time episode, which will go out later this week for subscribers, with Ben Dawson, the former Newcastle coach, who was there for the best part of 20 years across two spells, who was also a coach at Leicester City and just recently left Bromby, about the sort of intricacies of pre-season, particularly what does the first few days look like, how do you build into it, and also what an Eddie Howe pre-season looks like, what training entails for how and what he'll be hoping to get towards by that Liverpool game, how the work will lead up to that. So yeah, really good to chat to Ben. Got great insight there. And because it is that time, we talk about pre-season and you still have these sort of images, or you speak to players who played in the 70s and 80s and they talk about sort of running up sand dunes until they were sick and the like. And it's like, does it look like that now? And it's very different to that generally now, although there are still a few occasions I think that happens. So yeah, please, if you're an Extra Time subscriber, I hope you look forward to that episode. And yeah, if you want to listen to that and also the back catalogue, then please subscribe.
Just a nice opportunity to actually think about something else, take us away from the transfers and the angst and things like that. And actually, of course, yeah. You know, this is a really important time of the year for coaches, for managers and for players. It's when you get that bedrock foundation of fitness in. I'm excited to listen to this. It was my idea and I want and hope that Chris has executed it well. I'm sure he has.
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely.
Project Podcaster.
Project Woff.
Yeah. Meanwhile, big Dan Byrne and his England teammates are preparing to face Lionel Messi and Argentina, aren't they? Byrne did it again against Norway. Georgie came off the bench and he headed the ball like nobody else can head the ball.
Just brilliant. I mean, I think I've had that feeling. Maybe we all have. I don't know. But it's been that feeling. Oh, I hope he comes on. And in some ways, I've sort of underestimated him again in that, you know, it's like, I want him to do it for him, for his family, for us, you know, like, oh, it'll be great if he comes on.
Yeah.
But what he's done is he's come on and he's made an impact and he's done a job and he's done the job exactly as required of him.
Yeah.
He's shown his quality. It's a very different quality from other players in that squad. You know, England have needed a sense of certainty in difficult moments. They've had to close games out when it really, really matters, when there's huge tension in the stadium, when there's something absolutely enormous at stake. And he's come on and he's taken the stage, different to Harry Kane, different to Jude Bellingham, different to those players, but he's made it his own and he's shown exactly what he does, what he's good at. He is an absolutely fantastic defender. That moment right at the end of the game against Norway where he heads the ball, as you said.
I celebrated that like a goal.
So did he.
I celebrated it like a goal.
So did he. And it was
that
brilliant.
That picture of him standing over the broken Norway player as well.
Yeah, stepped over him twice. I'm just so pleased. You know, I'm sure maybe others feel the same. You feel a bit nervous when he comes on. It's like you don't want him to make a mistake or anything like that. But what I love is that as you put it at the top of the show, Taylor, he's showing what he's all about. He's showing the rest of the country what he's all about. He's not just there because he's a good lad. He is a good lad, and he will be giving absolutely everything in training every day. We know that. He will be being a good tourist, and he will be being a really valuable squad member. But he has come on, and he's made an impact. And I'm just really delighted about that.
The country have kind of fallen in love with him as well in the way that we already had, haven't they? And I've seen some of the memes and stuff going around and they've kind of attributed some of the old quotes about Chuck Norris to him now as well.
It's like he wasn't born, he was forged from girders or something like that. I mean, it was like that. It's that sort of stuff. No, yeah. He's been a real credit. Shouldn't be surprised anymore by this stuff, but
no, of course.
Proper quality.
Absolutely huge game to come for England as well tomorrow, Chris. And you're going to have a look at this one, do you think, international football? Has this piqued your interest yet?
The big Argentina-England game's on Saturday night, I believe, in the rugby. But
shut up, egg-chasing nonsense.
But no, I am absolutely delighted for Dan Byrne, so I will say that. And Elliot Anderson, who obviously has been absolutely central to everything England have done at this World Cup. And despite all of the, speculation, then negotiations, then actual subsequent transfer to Manchester City, he still managed to perform at that level, which I think is quite something as well.
There was a lovely moment at the end of that Norway game where they were singing Hey Jude to Jude Bellingham, but the camera was on Elliot Anderson. He was still singing Geordies instead of Hey Jude, which was fantastic.
Does that not make your heart ache a little bit?
A little bit.
He has been excellent. He was brilliant against Norway in a very different way to Bellingham. And it is a massive game. I mean, for people of my generation, England, Argentina, it is memories of 1986 and Sir Bobby and Maradona and, you know, that astonishing match, one of the best goals you could ever hope to see, and also one of the most controversial goals you'll ever see.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a stirring, stirring match. Huge, you know, couldn't be any more riding on it. And politically, historically, it's a big deal too. So looking forward to it. Looking forward to it.
Definitely. Podonthetine.supportcast.fm is where you can pick up a subscription if you want to listen ad-free to our shows or get the additional content on our Extra Tine feed. You can email a question to podonthetine@gmail.com. And as always, the Q&A thread in our subscriber Discord server will be open for entries. And we still have an account on Twitter and X @podonthetine. And we're more active over on Blue Sky @podonthetine.bsky.social. We're also now on Instagram @podonthetinepodcast and TikTok @podonthetine. Right then, chaps, that's just about it. Thank you very much for your time, Chris.
You're very welcome. Let's hope that this is... I was going to say I'd hope that it's a less newsy week at Newcastle, but I hope that if it is going to be a newsy week, that it's actually a newsy positive week. A positive
good
week.
Newsy.
Yeah, good newsy. Yeah.
Because
good
newsy there's been too many of the opposite recently. So, yeah.
Thank you very much, George.
You're welcome. Yes, I absolutely second that emotion. Be nice to have something positive to chat about.
It certainly would. Let's hope we all have a good newsy week ahead. Thank you very much for listening to the Podman Tide from everybody here. Take care. Enjoy the England game. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye. When Alexander Graham Bell invented the first telephone, he already had a voicemail waiting for him. It was from Dan Byrne. Some good. Say the sun gets Dan burnt.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.